And there's a lot of noise around a very quiet, beautiful film, which opens in theaters this Friday. The Quiet Girl is the highest-grossing Irish-language film of all time, Irish, not Gaelic, which is separate. And it's nominated for Best International Feature Film in the upcoming Oscars, the first Irish-language film to get that nomination. It tells the story of 9-year-old Coat, who we first meet lying in a field while people search for her. We panic. Is she okay? She is. She's thinking her own thoughts. She's a quiet girl. Her frenetic family, mom expecting, dad exhausted and angry, chattering sisters and baby brother, and all the kids at school think Coat is weird. While mom delivers, Coat is sent to live with an older relative and her husband, and she blossoms, feeding a newborn calf. Is that the mother's milk, she asks? No, it's powdered. Why is it powdered milk instead of its mom's? Because, she's told, its mom's milk is sold.
An Asian Vanya water.
Niha.
Care they, Martian?
Banya food.
They who's not talking to Banya water, though.
Deal me then, Banya son.
Colin Barrade directed The Quiet Girl and wrote the screenplay, which he adapted from Claire Keegan's short story Foster. He joins us now. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
And what drew you to this quiet story?
Well, I guess there were kind of a number of things that drew me to the story. Certainly the fact that it was a story that was entirely told from the point of view of this young protagonist. I had just become a father, actually, for the first time, maybe a year or so before I read Foster. And, you know, encountering this child, even though it was a fictional child, who was yearning and seeking this care and affection and love that she wasn't receiving, you know, from her own biological parents. As a new parent, I just had this sort of paternal response, I think, to the character and a desire to almost take care of her in a sense. And also, I really loved the sort of smallness of the story, you know, that it's a kind of a miniature in a sense. There's something quite profound and expansive to be found in small places and in smaller stories. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like the way a childhood memory can be both tiny and monumental at the same time. Mm-hmm. And also, I think I'm drawn to characters who are quiet. I myself am probably, that description would perhaps fit me, only that, you know, I'm being interviewed. I wouldn't be the one usually talking the most, I think, in a given social situation. But I quite enjoy that process of revealing a character like that to an audience.
And how do you tell this story? Because it is a quiet girl. There's not a lot of dialogue. And yet there's a lot of images. Just these scenes of, you know, her home, which can be dark and foreboding at times. We get a whiff of danger from her dad, who's obviously struggling to support this growing family. But it's rural, and there's beautiful fields and animals. And then when she goes to what turns out to be the cousin of her mother, it's another world, still rural. But what worlds are you showing us?
Well, I suppose it's interesting that, as you say, it's a quiet film, you know, that silence is almost a character in this film. But it's a sort of an interrogation of various types of silence, you know, that there's the silence of fear and of shame that sort of pervades the early sections of the film. And then there's the silence of grief that comes to the fore as well. And also the silence of love, you know, that there's, in a strange way, it's a portrait of us as a people who at times struggle to communicate their emotional selves in a verbal sense.
Yeah. And by the way, we're not going to give away the silence of the grief.
Yeah, sure.
That is just, you know, is a gobsmacker. But yes, I hear what you're saying. This is sort of this inability to say what you really are thinking, to express deep emotions. This child, this 9-year-old, has it in spades, and yet so do adults. And the fact that they're speaking in Irish. You were raised bilingual, English and Irish. I have to confess, I'm not that aware of how much Irish is actually spoken in Ireland. I mean, talk to us about that and the importance it seemed for you to tell this story in Irish.
Yeah, so officially the Irish language is the language of the state in Ireland. Like it's our official national language. So like any sort of government document that gets published has to be published in Irish and in English. But unfortunately, it's not the working language of our country and is very much a minority language. I think it's less than 2% of the population that would use Irish as their first language in Ireland. And as you said, I've had a long sort of personal connection to the language in that I was raised bilingually in Dublin City. And my father's never actually spoken English to me. He just always has spoken Irish. I'm now raising my own children through the Irish language in Dublin City. My wife, Cleona, who's actually the producer of the film as well. So, yeah, the Irish language has always been a part of my life and continues to be. So the fact that an Irish language film is sort of traveling the world, I guess, and is finding such recognition is, you know, it's very meaningful to us personally, but also to our nation, you know, because even though most people in Ireland can't speak the Irish language, the average Irish person will tell you that they would love to be able to speak it. And in a way, the Irish language is a bit like the quiet girl of the story as well, you know, that it's been kind of downtrodden and forgotten and silenced in some ways. This was an opportunity to give a voice to not only this young character, but also to our language.
Yeah. Let's listen to a little of the beauty of it. This is a scene in which the little girl, the 9-year-old, Coat, meets Eileen. This is the cousin of her mom. Coat coming from her, you know, struggling farm to another farm, but this one seems really comfortable and not well off, but certainly better off. And here in this scene, the woman who's becoming her foster mom for the summer tells her the last time she saw her, she was a baby. Let's listen. Eileen says, the last time I saw you, you were in a pram. And Coat says, it's broken. And Eileen asks, how? And the little girl says, my sisters used it as a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, my sisters used it as a wheelbarrow and one of the wheels came off.
Yes. It's beautiful to hear that. What else do you think it does to the story?
For me, like obviously the original story is an English language story. But for me, because that story itself is presenting such a truthful portrait, I think, of us as a people, it always felt entirely apt to me, this process of translation, you know, of moving Claire's story into an Irish language setting. And even, you know, as an Irish speaker, when I read Claire Keegan's Foster and I read the dialogue in that story, it's the English that we as Irish people speak, which actually has its own term. It's called Hiberno-English, because Ireland would have been known as Hibernia, I think, by the Romans. But Hiberno-English is literally a description of a form of English that's haunted and that bears all of these traces of the Irish language.
Can you give us an example of, you know, in a sentence, for instance?
Yeah, sure. So there's a line in the film, for instance, when Sean, the kind of foster father, speaks to Coat's biological father. You know, Coat's father says he's going to hit the road. It's time to get back to the farm. And Sean says to him, what hurry is on you? If you were to say that in Irish, it would be Cain Zephyr atá Earth. What hurry is on you is a direct translation of that precise syntax as it exists in the Irish language. So that's an example of how Irish people, even today, are saying things in a way that's actually an expression of a mode of expression that belongs to the Irish language. It's just a part of how we speak English as a nation.
We don't want to give away the plot twists or the ending.
Sure.
However, it is make noise in the theater, cry. It's like, can you just say, is that really the end?
To me, it's the end of our telling of the story. I mean, certainly, as Claire Keegan herself likes to say, when she publishes a work, she believes that the work is in a sense unfinished and that the reader completes the work. And I'm quite taken with that notion and its application to this medium, which is the medium of film. I'm drawn to films that allow or afford an audience the sort of respect and space to become involved in the story in that respect, you know? So yeah, but I mean, I quite like that it's left open. I mean, I have my own opinion certainly on what happens next, but I think it's important that everyone sort of takes their own view of things as to what Coat's journey is going to be.
That's Colin Barade, director of the Irish language film The Quiet Girl, the highest grossing Irish language film of all time, and a nominee for the Academy Award for Best International Feature Film. Colin Barade, thank you so much.
Thank you, Robin. That was great.